This is the Woodland Hills Family Church Podcast. Our desire is to inspire you and your family to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Now enjoy today's message with Ted Cunningham.
Today, a message that has been a long time coming at our church. We're talking about the blessing. If you have your Bibles here at home, turn to Numbers chapter 6. Numbers 6, we're going to look at the blessing that God gave to Moses to give to the priests, to give to the people as they traveled to the promised land. And as we launch into this today, I just want to ask you, I want you to think for just a moment about a person in your life who maybe it's in the past, maybe it's right now, someone who speaks a blessing over you, or maybe years ago they spoke a blessing over you, or they spoke life into you. How many of you have someone in mind right now? It doesn't have to be a lot of people, but I mean, you have one or two. I do. I can think back to years ago. He's been with the Lord now over 4 years, Dr. Gary Smalley. He actually wrote a book called The Blessing, where he talked about that meaningful touch, the spoken words of high value, the act of commitment, and picturing a special future. And I remember him sharing that with me. And 4 years later, after he has gone to be with the Lord, I still remember words that he shared with me. Joe White has been another one in my life to speak blessing over me. Every time our family gets together and we pray together with extended family, it's our desire to speak words of high value, honor, or to speak a blessing over one another. And here's kind of what I've learned. I don't think you need a bunch of people, like a lot of people. I have a few. And I am grateful for how God has used them. And that's why when I saw this meme a couple of months ago, I thought it was just the perfect meme, and it describes a lot of my friends. I like coffee, fishing, and maybe like three people. How many have seen that meme? I sent it to my friend R.P. Harrell. And I said, I found the perfect meme for you, and he responded with, I don't even know if I like three people. So, but you get the idea. I like more than three people. But in the world that we live in, we thought, hey, I got to have hundreds. I have to have thousands of friends. But boy, show me a person who has one or two individuals that are there, that are always there. No matter what you go through, no matter what you do, you can pick up the phone and call them, and they will speak life into you. They will speak a blessing over you. I hope as this message goes on today, I hope if you don't have that person in your life, I hope this church is a source of blessing for you. I hope this church is one that speaks life into you. I hope you find community here and can find an individual or two that invest in you, that speaks over you. You know, Alex said it a couple of weeks ago that he doesn't like weddings, but I do. And that's true. I love weddings. I love doing weddings. I love being a part of weddings. Because you know what? The words honor, the word blessing, those flow out of weddings. And on Tuesday afternoon, my family spent all week at the family camp here in Branson. And we were able to sneak away. They let us sneak away for an afternoon so I could be a part of a wedding. The wedding of Jasmine and Nick Montelion. And they're actually in this service. I'm going to ask them to stand because they want to stand, right? They want to be known, right? They want to. They're like, don't do this to me. They got married on Tuesday, and I don't want to say anything to everybody. They're in church the Sunday after they got married, so can I just say, way to go. But stay standing for just a second, because I want the church to know your ceremony. It was beautiful, all the work that you put into it. It was a very traditional wedding. It was up at Greenhouse, Two Rivers. And the music played, and Doug Gabriel walked Jasmine down the aisle, and I asked the very traditional question, who gives this woman to be married to this man? And he said, her mother and I, through a lot of tears, there was a lot of crying at this wedding. And then they stepped forward, and they heard a message from me. They exchanged vows and rings. But you want to know what the most special part of your service was? And one of your groomsmen, Nick, even came up to me afterwards and said it. So I've never been part of a wedding where at the end of the ceremony where friends and family gather around, lay hands on the bride and groom and speak a blessing over them and pray over them. And you're going to forget a lot of details of that day. You're going to have to go back and watch the video to be reminded of a lot of things that happened. But I can promise you, you will never forget the family and friends who laid hands on you and spoke a blessing over you and spoke life into you. We say around here at this church, every marriage is a duet in need of great backup singers. And you were surrounded by great backup singers, and you both nodded, giving permission to every single member of your family and friend who was gathered there that day on Tuesday. You gave them permission to rejoice and delight in you and to praise your love more than wine. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 4. You gave them permission to speak into your life. You gave them permission to hold you accountable to the vows you exchanged before God and gathered witnesses. And I was driving home reminded of this. We want to talk about how the blessing comes full circle. 18 years we've been going in Branson. And as a young punk preacher, I would go a couple of times a week to Panera Bread. And it was me and the Old Man Coffee Club. And I would sit and have coffee with them for about an hour. But a man by the name of Don Gabriel would always find me afterwards. And knew in my late 20s, getting started in a church, and your grandfather spoke blessing over me regularly in Panera Bread of all places. And for me to be able to drive away from his granddaughter getting married and watching people bless you, that is what I hope this church is all about. Would you help me welcome newlyweds Jasmine and Nick Monteleone? Love you guys. Thank you. Speaking life, speaking blessing over. I hope this marks your home. That was Gary Smalley's passion, that homes would be homes of honor and homes of blessing, that people would speak words of life over one another. And today in Numbers chapter 6, we get this blessing that around middle of March, we started hearing this song, the blessing. I've heard it from every continent. Amen, if you have heard it too, every continent. I've heard it in many languages, and I've learned that I cry with every language. I can sing along in English no matter what language it is being sung in. But this blessing, and it's a simple but profound blessing, but the context of it to me is so fitting, and I think it's why it resonates with us right now. Why has this song been so used by God? Why has this passage of Scripture, why has this blessing been so used by God during this difficult season in our world? We read in verse 22 of Numbers chapter 6. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons. So this is why in your Bible it may say above it, priestly blessing. When you see priestly blessing, don't for a moment think that this is something that's only supposed to be spoken by pastors or priests. No, you can speak the truths of this blessing over your family. You can speak the truths of this over friends and over people who need to be reminded of what we're going to learn today. So the Lord gives it to Moses, who gives it to Aaron, and this is how you are to bless the Israelites. So from the Lord to Moses, to Aaron and his sons, to the Israelites. It's very important that you get the context of number 6. Number 6 comes in a chunk of numbers from chapter 1 to chapter 10. They've camped for almost a year at Mount Sinai. They're now making preparations to leave Mount Sinai and go to the promised land. What is between Mount Sinai and the promised land? Somebody tell me. The wilderness. Does anybody feel like you're living in a wilderness right now? In such times of uncertainty, that's one of the reasons why this blessing has blessed so many of us during this time. And yesterday, Amy walks outside, lets the dog out, and she looks up and she's like, man, something's going on outside. I said, oh, that's sand from the Sahara that's dropping on Branson today. It showed up today. Now, a year ago, I would have told her that. She'd be like, oh, come on. But yesterday, she was like, yeah, that makes sense. You've had the disease, the locusts, the riots, and now the sand. What are the chances that we're covering a passage today from the wilderness and the Lord brings us sand just to make a point on this text? Look up the Sahara. It's the whole north part of it. Anyway, it's amazing. Today we are going to learn the truth of God in our lives, the truth of God for his children, and you can be certain of it. And I think that's why I have found myself listening to the blessing. You're like, well, you get to the blessing. I'm getting there. But this is why I find myself sitting on a rickety lawn chair in my garage for hours on end. And Carson comes walking by and he goes, man, that's a long song. It's on repeat. I'm listening to it over and over and over again because we can't go nowhere. Indian clay oven still closed. Tie Tie still closed. Right? Everything's closed. We ain't got jobs. We ain't going to work. Nothing's happening. So let's just... But why has this song so resonated? In such uncertain times, we can be so certain about what we're talking about today. And here's the blessing. And here's what we've been singing. And by the way, if you're watching, don't tune out as you know the message is coming to the end and you start picking up keys. And well, I don't know. We probably just go get more coffee. I don't know what you do at home, but you're like, this is the time to go. No, don't go, because the worship team, the production team, our creative team has prepared one of the most beautiful elements throughout, I believe, all of quarantine and maybe in the life of our church to bless you and to sing this over you at the end of the message today. But here it is. The Lord bless you and keep you. If you're taking notes, just right next to this, protection. We're going to talk about God's protection. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. Grace is not just a New Testament concept. We have it all throughout the scripture. Write grace next to verse 25. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. Here's what this blessing is. So they're going from Mount Sinai to the Promised Land, and they'll be going through the wilderness. And this is going to be, it's one of the most often quoted Jewish prayers. It is going to be spoken over them every single day, was the intent. And it's to remind them of the presence of God during this time. That when all else is gone, we know God is with us and for us. That is the reminder that the blessing brings us. No matter what we're going through, the amount of uncertainty that we're dealing with, the amount of loss that we have gone through, we can count on the fact that God is with us and for us and fighting for us. One of the contributors to Desiring God, John Piper's ministry, she puts it this way. God takes the initiative to assure his people of his settled intention to bless them. He is personally involved with his children and is the source of all the goodness they enjoy. So the question becomes, and when we hear the word blessing, it may take some of you back to the church that you grew up in. We used to sing a song in our Baptist church, our small Baptist church. Sing it with me if you know it. Count your blessings, name them.
One by one.
Sing it.
Stay
with me, Kent, on time. All right, here we go.
Count your blessings, name them one by one.
I used to be a worship leader. You can see I still got it. And those are every Baptist that we have at Woodland Hills at the 10 a.m. right there. Because some of you are like, I've never heard that song in my life. We were told and we were taught, count your blessings, because it is a reminder during thin times. It is a reminder during difficult times of how God has provided for you and for your family. Be reminded through your experience of how God took care of you. But what if this blessing given to the children as they go through, and they're trusting God. They're called to trust God in this journey. The blessing is more than something from God. At the root of this is in the protection and in the grace and in the peace, the favor of God resting on his people. At the center of all of this is the presence of God. You have to get that to understand this blessing. God is with you and for you through it all. No matter what comes our way. The blessing is more of God. So let me ask, when you've lost it all, think we can give a list of everything that's been lost in the last 3 months. Income, jobs, businesses. I have friends at churches that have closed. Time with family and friends. Some of us have had a lot of time with family and friends, but some of you have grandma and grandpa in assisted living or in nursing homes that you've not been able to see, but maybe through a window. But then we have family members at our church that are on or in interior rooms that don't have windows, cut off from family and friends. Loss. When all is stripped away, is God enough for you? Will you rely on his presence? See, loss has a way of reminding us of the blessings of not just what God brings us, but the blessing of God's presence in our lives. In tough seasons, we seek more of God rather than just something from God. Nancy Guthrie goes on to say, and I want to read some words. She really ministered to me the past couple of weeks as I've not only prepared for this message, but as I have just allowed the blessing to be spoken over me and allow other pastors and worship teams and continents and other languages to sing it over me. And she says, the reason the blessing is resonating with us right now, and the reason these words that they come to us, they're bringing such peace, reminding us of God's presence. She says, if we really believe that God is the substance of blessing, we won't confess that we're blessed only when circumstances seem good. Instead, when times are hard, and even when the worst things we can imagine are happening to us, we'll be able to say we are blessed. We'll call ourselves blessed and mean it because we're experiencing the presence of God with us and in us, in ways we were barely aware of when life seemed easy. Did you catch what she said there? Right now, we are more understanding. We have a better sense of His presence because we're not holding on to the other things. Because, see, we get very caught up in worshiping creation. And you've heard me say it before, but one of the reasons I love of sharing the gospel with fly fishermen is because they all love to worship creation. And I tell them, you're already worshipers. You're just worshiping the creation. If we could just get you to take one step from worshiping the creation to the Creator. And see, that's what happens when we have material blessings. We can hold on to those and we can be comforted by those. When follower of Jesus, we're called to be comforted by the presence of Christ. We're called to be comforted by His presence in our lives and not allow the blessings of God, material blessings, to distract us from the presence of God. She says, we call ourselves blessed and mean it because we're experiencing the presence of God with us and in us in ways we were barely aware of when life seemed easy and good. Because we know the Lord is keeping us and being gracious to us, our sense of security and peace won't be tied to our circumstances. It won't be tied to our businesses. It won't be tied to the Dow Jones Industrial Average, which is what we call a roller coaster. It's not tied to that. It's not tied to the news today and all God's people said. It's not tied to the news cycle. It's tied to the presence of God in our lives, period. That's where we find our peace, the presence of God. She didn't say all this. I'm adding to it, obviously, as I go here. In our desperation for Him during difficult times, we'll find ourselves incredibly blessed, and I love this, by an increased sense of companionship and His comfort. And she says, anything and everything good that emerges from our lives will be a result of His sovereign presence in it. So let's break down the three parts of this blessing and then talk about how we can give it to one another. The first part, the Lord bless you and keep you. Protection. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks says, part of this protection in the blessing is to protect you from allowing blessing to turn into a curse. Blessings turning you or the people of God becoming blind and deaf to the good things God has given us. That His presence alone would keep us and comfort us. The second part, the Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. This sounds very similar. Line 3 sounds very similar to line 5. But here's the difference. In this line, the Lord make His face shine on you. This is that His countenance would rest on you. And that when people see you, they see the Lord. Think about that for just a second. People you encounter. Yesterday, I encountered protesters. We went to get ice cream where our daughter works. And the protest was going on up the road. And Amy says, as we were approaching it, you are turning right before we get there. Oh, no. I'm driving right smack down the middle of it. And I drove down the middle. And here, and I'll get to this part in just a second. But as I drove down it, I found myself praying for both sides of the road. Reminding what we talked about a couple of weeks ago. The Imago Dei, the image of God in man. Both sides of the road. You want to know what's true about both sides of the road? Both sides of the road. Created in the image of God. Personally autographed by God. And highly valuable. Both sides. No matter what their tattoos showed. No matter what their flag said. One guy had his flag out over the road like this. And I'm like, I'm going to hit it. he get that flag out of the way? No, I didn't. I drove around it. I was praying, so I had to be in a little bit better place. But yeah, I go, this is what I know is true. Follower of Jesus, think about this. What is on you? Because for them, it was the countenance. He says, make his face, this is Rabbi Sacks, make his face shine upon you. It means make his presence and may it be evident in you. May he leave a visible trace of his being on the face you show to others. And the last part, the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. To make peace in the world, and this is a word we need right now. And before you're worried about peace in the world, let it begin with you. And here's what we're going to know from this blessing. Too many people, and you'll hear, this is new agey teaching that is bad. Look deep inside and you'll find it. No. Look to him and you'll find it. Stop. And I've always picked on Oprah with this one, but Oprah says, you know, look inside, you'll find all your need. No, you will not. You will find a mess. Right? Don't cuddle your inner self. Look to the one. May his face shine upon you. May he turn his face toward you and give you peace. I love how the rabbi puts it. We must be at peace with ourselves. How are you at peace with ourselves from your Father in heaven? How do you find that peace? Understanding that you are unconditionally valued, period. You have value. I love this. Here's what he says. God ignores the image we project to other people. Why? Because we can't pretend with him. He knows us. He knows us. You are unconditionally valued. Your value comes from God, not me. How I treat you doesn't determine your value. If you want to be at peace, understand your Creator and the image of God in man. Now, we said this, and we have to keep saying it to make sure this is clear coming from our church. Creation. Through creation, you're an image bearer. Through salvation in Christ Jesus, you are a child of God. You have automatic intrinsic value because you're created in the image of God through placing faith alone in Christ alone, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believing in your heart that he has been raised from the dead. You will be saved and become a child of God. Okay? Your value, though, the imago Dei in man, please hear this, because some of you feel worthless today, and this is why the blessing is so important for you. You feel worthless today and of no value because of the way people have treated you. But the bottom line is your value is not based on another's thoughts, feelings, words, or actions. Some of you had a spouse that left you for another woman or another man. And it made you feel ugly. It made you feel worthless. It made you feel unworthy of love. And someone treated you poorly. And I got to tell you, this is one of the reasons I love pastoral counseling. And this is one of the reasons you can ask our marriage 911 folks around here. There's no greater joy than to meet with someone who from their heart speaks words about themselves that you know are not true. I have no value. There's no greater joy than to pronounce that a lie. A lie. I don't know who told you that, but it's not true. God loves you. He is for you. It's not how people talk about you. It's not how they treat you. It's not even what they think or feel about you. That does nothing to your value. In other words, nothing I say or do can add to or take away from your value. Nothing. This is why we want to be people who speak life and speak this blessing. Showing God's favor to people. Letting them see that from us. Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death. Woodland Hills Family Church, can I implore all of us during this season and from now on to be people of life when we speak and when we post? Let us be peacemakers. Let the peace that we receive from our Heavenly Father shine through us. And to everyone, I didn't post a lot this week because online was just this week. I stayed off, and you know what? I'm a healthier person today because of it. Can I just encourage you? How about when we go online this week, we're speaking life, not death. And just ask the Holy Spirit to call you by name right now if you've been speaking death. You've been speaking violence and resentment. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Who do you know that needs the blessing right now? Who do you know that you need to speak this over? Who do you know that you need to speak life into? Speak words of high value over someone who feels worthless. You want to find joy in ministry? This is where it's at. Tell someone this week, I'll give you some starter lines, talking points. The Lord is for you, and so am I. You matter to God, and you matter to me. Max Lucado actually says, every time you invite someone over to your home and share a meal with them and show them hospitality, and that word hospitality comes from healing. People should be healed while eating at your home. That's what they should feel. Dan Cathy, the CEO of Chick-fil-A, says a good meal heals you 30% in the stomach, 70% in the heart, unless you're a teenager. Then that's flipped. But that's what a good meal does. People should leave your home. And even beyond your home, if you're practicing hospitality as a Christian, they should leave your presence going, I matter to God and I matter to them. How about this one? Somebody needs to hear this from you this week. You don't need to pretend with me. You're holding back right now. You don't need to hold your words back. No need to pretend. Whatever you've done, whatever you said, I love you no matter what. I'm going to be present. I'm not going to be like other spouses or other friends or other employers, whoever it may be that walked away from you. I'm not. I'm showing this active commitment. The last part of Gary Smalley's and John Trent's blessing to talk about was that active commitment, that presence. You know, I have two kids, 15 and one soon to be 17. They never, ever have to wake up in the morning going, I wonder if Dad's going to be here for me today. I'm there. Your kids need to know this from you, but you need to be speaking this over them about their Heavenly Father. Show it in your own life, but proclaim it over them. As we head to the New Testament, kind of see this outline again, I'm going to share it with you and then share the gospel and then let the worship team share. We've been talking about God's presence, and in Hebrews 13:5, keep your lives free from the love of money. And we've been stripped from that, haven't we? Stripped from that right now. And be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. God's protection. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? God's peace. John 16:33. I've told you these things so that in me, Jesus, you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. Don't get that mixed up. In this world, you won't have. In Jesus, you have peace. Because the world is trouble. This is why we say in our home, this is going to be a home of honor. Corinne Carson, you're speaking life to one another. Siblings, please hear me. If you're in here with your sibling right now, can I just see your hands? I just want you to get this speaking life. Don't be so enthusiastic about it. Anyway, speaking life. You know why? I've told my kids this since they were very small. The world has plenty of trouble. They're throwing nasty at us all day long. They're cussing at us all day long. They hate us. Okay, but when we come in this home, this is a safe place. This is En Gedi that I love to use from the Song of Solomon chapter 1. This is an oasis in the middle of the desert. This is where we come to be refreshed, replenished, renewed, where we relax. And I'm not stepping into this home and dealing with what I deal with out there. May this be a home where we're speaking life into one another and speaking blessing over one another. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And I wanted to close this message on the blessing with showing and sharing how the gospel fits with the blessing. And that's the last part. The blessing resounds with the gospel of Jesus. And as I started taking notes, I went back to Nancy Guthrie, the contributor for Desiring God. And I'm just going to read her words. I put my notes aside. This is just too good to understand how the gospel flows through the whole blessing. She says, we enjoy God's blessing only because Jesus experienced the full measure of God's curse in our place. We can be sure that the Father will keep us and protect us because Christ was not protected. We can revel in having the Lord's face turned toward us only because he turned his face away from his Son as he hung on the cross. We can be sure that the Lord will lift his countenance upon us only because when he looks at us, catch this, he sees us robed in the righteousness of Christ. He is able to grant us his peace only because his anger was exhausted on another. To be blessed is to be joined to Christ so securely that we have an ever-increasing sense that we are being kept by and for God. Because we are recipients of lavish grace, we can be honest with God and other people about our sin. And because the Lord is giving us his peace, we can face the future with confidence in all God's people said. And there is no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. If you have never placed faith in Christ, that today would be the day of your salvation, watching at home, Facebook, or on our live stream, that today would be the day you confess your sins, acknowledge your sins, repent of your sins, remove yourself from the throne of your life, for there are ways that seem right to a man, but in the end lead to destruction, that you would confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, you will be saved. And you'll move from not only being an image bearer because of creation in the Imago Dei to being a child of God because of what Jesus did for you. And that's the ultimate blessing. And we encourage you to receive that today. Our worship team put a lot of late night hours in for the blessing they're about to give us. And Matt Gumm is going to take a nap this afternoon. He spent many sleepless nights editing this, putting it together. There was so many from our production team and creative team, many people to thank. We're grateful for this. And I just encourage you at home, put down any notes you might be taking, anything, even the coffee cup, and just sit here and let this blessing come over you. Let life be spoken in to you with the blessing.
be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children.
Thank you for joining us, church at home, and everybody here on campus. Somebody needs the blessing from you today. Somebody does. And what a great challenge for all of us to go and bless. One, we say it around here all the time, do for one what you cannot do for all. So go and speak life into someone. Remind them of God's presence in their life. Remind you, you can sign up today for Sunday summer camp. We're going to dismiss you. We're out of time in here. But before you tune out church at home in here, I would like to give the blessing to you. Good luck. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. And all God's people said, amen. Love you all. We'll see you next week, July 5th.